Today's show is proudly sponsored by Minding the Gap. You guys all know that mental health for dancers matters. You're on board. You want to see the culture in your studio change, but where do you start? Enter Minding the Gap. Minding the Gap is dedicated to seeing mental health regarded with the same seriousness as physical health in dance culture, and they come armed with solutions. Whether it's helping you craft policies and procedures that protect the mental wellness of dancers and staff, consulting to build a robust mental health program in your school or company, or providing mental health skills workshops for your students and teachers, Minding the Gap has you covered. They bring the expertise of the best dance mental health experts in the world to you. For more information, visit www.wearemindingthegap.org or click the link in the show notes. Hello, dancers. Welcome to the last episode of season two of the Dance Better podcast. I want to just take a second here and thank you all for being such amazing listeners and followers of the show. Every like, love, follow, comment, share, Instagram story that you've done has really warmed my heart and made me so grateful for this platform. And on days when maybe it wasn't super easy to keep going, I kept going, and it's all because of you all. So thank you so much for being here with me today. Today's episode is super fun. I spoke with Haley Thompson of Rethink Dance. Haley is a dance enthusiast from Wilmar, Minnesota. She studied dance education at the University of Auckland in New Zealand and was inspired to bring back her knowledge to teach dance to all ages and abilities. Haley encourages people around her to pursue their passions and be exactly who they were created to be. Her positivity and authenticity inspires others to reach their highest potential and has led to the creation of Rethink Dance. Rethink is on a mission to create a global community committed to understanding others, shifting perceptions, and changing lives. Through educational programs, outreach, volunteering, and an annual film festival, Rethink beautifully connects the community through dance. Please remember that I am not a mental health professional, and anything you hear me say on the show is based on my personal experience and perspectives and should not be considered medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use any of the content to diagnose you or anyone else of any mental or health condition. If any of the things shared on the show resonate with you, I encourage you to talk to your doctor or click the link in the show notes to find the best healthcare professional for you. And before we get started, I also want to mention anything said on the show is a reflection of my dance experience as a whole and not any one teacher, studio, or company. The opinions shared by my guests in this episode are their own and come from their individual viewpoint. I feel like this was a super uplifting and very fitting episode for the closeout to season two. I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I did, and I can't wait for you to listen. So here you go. Hello, dancers. Welcome back. Today, I am really excited to introduce to you Ms. Haley Thompson of Rethink Dance. Hello, Haley. How are you?
Hi, I am doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for having
me here today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me today about Rethink. I'm so excited to share this organization with the listeners and just kind of dive into everything that you've been up to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we can't wait to tell you more about what we do.
Cool. So first of all, I always like to give my listeners kind of a quick overview of your background. So your relationship with ballet throughout the years, and if you feel comfortable and it's relevant, you know, what role your own mental health might have played throughout that time, and then how you became a dance educator.
Sure. Well, it kind of all started when I was 3 years old. So basically the start of life. But I have been dancing really since I could walk. Definitely knew that it was always going to be a part of my life, or I guess at least my parents did, because they would see me going around the house and just dancing to music, but not even dancing to music, at times. And so I grew up in a small town, Wilmar, Minnesota, and I danced for, Colleen at Colleen School of Dance, very, small dance school. And, you know, we offered ballet, tap, jazz, lyrical. Wasn't till later in like junior high or high school that we offered like hip hop and point classes. And I just knew that I wanted to have dance a part of my life somehow. And I think, you know, that having that upbringing of dance, it was a way to connect with people on a deeper level and really provide a safe and fun environment for me to be able to be myself when maybe I couldn't be myself at school.
Yeah, I hear that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you want to share, is there anything about your mental health that might have been relevant throughout your career? Or
sure. Yeah, I guess my whole life, I've kind of struggled with a little bit of depression and anxiety. And I think dance was such a like great opportunity for me to use that, you know, as a way to heal and to maintain a good level of mental health. And I find myself when I'm, you know, not giving myself permission to take time to just dance, to move in general, but specifically there's something about dance that's like no other movement. So when I don't do that, I really struggle with my mental health. And it's not even a question anymore to make sure that I carve out time and in my day and week that, you know, allows for that space. Cause it's just it's home.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So how did you come to be a dance educator? What did that look like? So you went through high school, middle school, high school dancing. What did that look like after school?
Sure. I guess. So after high school, I just knew I wanted to do something with dance. And to be honest, I let kind of the outside forces, whatever that might be, the environment, society, kind of dictate some decisions. And, you know, it wasn't going to make any sense for this young adult to go to school for dance. And so I was kind of undecided, undeclared major right away. And, you know, it's funny because if I really like dug deep, I had a very clear understanding that that was my purpose. And for whatever reason, it just didn't seem practical. So I didn't, you know, declare this as a major or really pursue something. And really that could have come from different experiences that I had gone through. Actually, I'll be quite honest. In high school, I struggled. I had some major like hearing problems. And so I discovered that I had this disease that ate away my bones of hearing. And it really affected a lot of who I was becoming, that identity formation during that time. And I look back now and those experiences and the surgeries I went through really, you know, I think going through that level of trauma, you start to like question who you are and your direction and all of those things. And now later in life, I'm coming to realize those are the things that that's why I'm here to talk about dance and to talk about, you know, going through things like that, where you can use dance as a way to heal. Mm-hmm. But so going to college, I, you know, decided, hey, I'm gonna study abroad. And I was at the time I was a business major, and I was gonna be taking all of these like economics classes and business classes. And I went over there and I decided, nope, I'm gonna take these dance education classes. These I think there was like a film class that it incorporated dance and film. And that's really where my passion for this dance film festival came from was way back in 2010 when I had this study abroad experience in Auckland, New Zealand. So that kind of, that's where it all like shifted. So between the trauma with ear surgeries and going to school and then, you know, studying abroad and coming back, I didn't really understand why we didn't have all of these opportunities that it seemed like New Zealand was so much more forward thinking in their, in their dance world, I guess.
That's interesting.
And
I feel like too, I mean, I've spoken to so many people in the research fields specific to dance, and it just seems like, I mean, the United States is so far behind what's happening in Australia, what's happening in the UK. Like, oh, there's just, I mean,
mind-blowing.
It's growing. It is growing. It is growing. Like, it's, there are some wonderful researchers here for sure. And I've had a lot of them on the show, but it's like shocking to me that with all the resources we have here, how kind of far behind we seem to be, like how much growth, more growth there could be, you know? So,
and I don't know if anyone else can relate, but I sometimes feel like we in the United States feel like we are further along than we are. And then it's like, you know, like,
that's kind of like that American mentality though.
Like
that's not specific to dance.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I see. I so understand what you're saying for sure.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. It must've been kind of humbling too, to have that experience and be like, oh, wait a minute, hang on. Like these, there are so many other possibilities for me. And I love that story because there are so many listeners that I have that are young adults, teenagers, who might be in that same spot that you were in, you know, whether it's some kind of real or perceived physical limitation, or, you know, they're just getting pressured from their family, like, oh, you can't, you know, this isn't a viable option for you, like whatever the thing is, or if they just don't want to perform. You know, there are a lot of dancers out there who love dancing, but they're not really wild about performing, you know, but they want to stay connected to dance. And this is just one way that, one avenue that they could take, you know? So I think that's a great story.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really am super excited to introduce the listeners to Rethink Dance. So let's talk about how the organization came to be. Like, what is the story and what are the major aims of Rethink?
Sure. So after that study abroad experience, that really opened my eyes to what was possible. And if there wasn't an opportunity where I was at, how could I create it? And that was cool. It's and terrifying at the same time, because you don't really have a like manual telling you, let's do all of these things. So, you know, to be honest, it looked kind of messy for a long time. I didn't, as a dancer, my way of learning and exploring was by trial and error. And I found, you know, choreography is playing with different shapes and movements and then getting somewhere and then potentially scrapping the whole thing because you're going in a different direction.
So having flexibility.
I feel like there's a lot of that, but really, you know, this big idea for Rethink Dance was to change the direction of dance. So it was to think big and to redefine of the redefine who could call themselves a dancer, what it looked like, and really became shifted into from that big picture to what our mission now is, to challenge and inspire people to discover their shared humanity. So we provide opportunities to empower people to be the choreographers of their own life so that they can fulfill their highest purpose. And all of that's really, you know, big and can
exciting
can mean a lot. Yeah, it's super exciting. And and that's what it's set out to be, something that inspires the world.
Yeah, I really love that. That's really cool. And the mission of my podcast too, it has evolved over time. And a big part of why I'm still doing it and why I will continue to do it is similar to that aim as well, is to I've said this so many times, my listeners are going to probably roll their eyes when they hear it, but if you want a seat at the table and there's not one, make one. Build a chair.
Absolutely.
And pull it up. Because
Absolutely.
that table is ever expanding, and it doesn't have to be, especially if we're talking specifically classical ballet, which is what I tend to focus on just because that was my personal experience. But even the wider dance world does seem to be pretty exclusionary. And oh, well, you're not a real dancer, or you're not, if you didn't XYZ, then you're not at this table. You're at the other table over there,
Right.
the kids' table, you know?
The kids' table. Oh my gosh, I still sit at the kids' table.
Same.
So, gotta love
Same.
it. No, I
Yeah.
love what you said about that because I think back to we had, studio dance versus dance team, and there's still this like divide between the two. But I remember personally thinking, and I did dance team too, so I really couldn't talk. It's like I
Yeah,
just
you're
wanted
like
to dance.
between the
I wanted
two.
more. But it was like, well, you didn't get the studio training, so you don't have this foundation. And yeah, that might be the case, but it also, why isn't just the passion and the this commonality of like wanting to dance enough,
Yeah, that's a great question. What does make a dancer? Like, what is enough, you know? Yeah, I love this. It's good stuff. It's good
Yeah,
stuff.
absolutely.
Very cool. So I'd love to hear the impact that Rethink has had on a more local scale. Like, what kind of opportunities are being created? What kind of change are you seeing in your local dance scene? Let's hear all about that.
Okay, so on our local community, Rethink Dance has provided experiences to really help unify everyone. And whether that's through performances, classes, film, or even volunteer experiences, that it's provided new opportunities for people to just connect.
Are there other populations? It's funny because we just spoke about how like anyone could be a dancer and like it's not an exclusive group, but segmenting the population in that way. Are there other populations you serve other than dancers? So like you talked about classes and workshops and things like that. Do you try to pull in people who maybe don't have like a ton of dance background, like to join you guys, or how does that work?
Absolutely. I think I've always just wanted everybody to dance because I think it's such an interesting thing where when we're little kids, we're bopping around to music and unafraid of moving and looking silly and just expressing ourselves through movement when we don't have the language to do so. And there's that awesome connection you can have. You just do, just like a little shimmy shake, and everybody gets it in every, country. There's this joy you spread. And so I think that I definitely try to inspire people who think that they, can't dance for whatever reason. Later, whatever barriers have been put up or walls they've been put up, that it's not cool or they are just insecure about it. I try to offer space for them to explore movement and discover that they actually can or that they like it. And I really think that, we serve everyone. So, you have the parents coming in to like have their kids dance, mm-hmm. but somehow want to reel them in to, you know, help them help their kids at home.
Yeah.
By, you know, dancing with them. And mm-hmm. I think we try to reach just all teachers. So whether yeah. they're dance educators or just any type of teacher. We also serve, I suppose, filmmakers with our, like with our dance film festival. Mm-hmm. So I think dancers encompasses everyone.
Yeah, I love
maybe
that
was too broad, but
no, I like that philosophy because, like, I know for me, I love teaching beginner adults, for example, mm-hmm. because I mean, especially again, I'm just a ballet teacher. That's all I teach. Ballet just. And point. Just ballet. That's
don't
it.
Say just ballet. Yeah. Is...
Well, no. Not in the no, sense. I know. Not in the sense of like, oh, I'm only a ballet teacher. No, but in the sense of like, that is my chosen yes. medium. Right?
That's your niche.
Yeah, that's niche? My medium. Yeah. Either one.
Which one? Niche.
But it's interesting because I feel like ballet really can be one of the most intimidating ones for adult beginners because it's so mysterious, you know? It's not like you can flip on, well, MTV doesn't show videos anymore, but like you're not gonna flip on a music video and see a classical ballet dancer, you know? And so right. it's just not built into the fabric of our pop culture. I mean, it's getting more prevalent, but not really. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this mysterious thing and there's tights and there's leotards and there's vulnerability and it's a new language and it's terrifying. But, you know, the ones that do come for adult ballet classes, for example, it's amazing to watch a transformation of someone who's so self-conscious and then 6 months later, they're like doing a grand jeté across the floor or something, you know, mm-hmm. it's really, it's super rewarding, but also like it's that spirit that you're talking about that we all have it in us, you know, mm-hmm. it just, and it might take different forms. It might not be classical ballet. It might be something else, but yeah, I just think that's a really beautiful way to approach dance pedagogy. For sure.
Yeah, I think that when you were talking, you probably could hear me type, but I did jot down that this idea of ballerinas or ballet is this the idea of perfection. Mm-hmm. So I think that can be intimidating when there's, you know, there is a right or wrong way to do ballet moves. You do not want to do it wrong.
Safe technique and not safe technique is the correct. Way I like to yes. put it. Yeah. Instead of right or wrong. But
yes.
yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. We don't want you to hurt yourself.
Nope.
Yeah.
So I think that can be a little bit where fear comes from. But mm-hmm. if we can break that down and if, you know, instead of perfect, we're striving for perfect, we are striving for our personal best.
Our personal best. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, that's great. So I'd love to hear about the future of Rethink Dance and kind of some things you might be thinking about in the future. Because it sounds like it started from a huge dream and it became a reality. So what are some other huge dreams you have for it moving forward?
Sure. I suppose it's continuing to leave space for it to evolve in ways that are both planned and unplanned. And it's exciting to, you know, like, what does that mean? There's a lot of things that I don't know, you know, there was just a pandemic. So I think planning to a certain degree, but then also, leaving space for the unexpected, but really we want to continue to create a global community that's committed to understanding others, shifting perceptions and changing lives.
Yeah. So talking about that shifting perspectives piece, what does that feel like to you personally? Like, what does that look like in a practical sense to you?
Sure. So I think that is creating, and do you mean in the classroom or just in general?
Sure. Like sure. any, and like whatever that means to you. In relationship to rethink, it could be in the classroom, on the stage, in the community. I just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So again, it goes back to the who is a dancer? What does it mean to, what does it look like? Mm-hmm. How do they feel when they're participating in something dance related? And so I think back to teaching. I taught a lot of classes to kiddos with special needs, and those were some of my favorite classes to teach. Mm-hmm. It really opened my eyes to not only to show this population and their parents and guardians, but also myself that they're more than capable of doing. Yeah. Amazing things
and creating art. I mean,
yeah. So you know, it's shifting those perceptions of myself, of you know, whoever is participating, and really opening your eyes to explore just like a whole new world and life for yourself.
Yeah, because I think too those. Whether you're 3, 13, 30, 103, like no matter how old you are, the lessons that you learn in a dance class transfer to everything, you know, not just when you're developing as a young adult or something, where you certainly do get a lot of skills through the dance class for sure for life. But I even think as an adult, I mean, I still take class. Whenever I can. And when I'm teaching class, I'm constantly learning something new. Like it's never a static process at all. And I just think I think that's why I keep coming back. It's why, you know, I could never leave it even if I wanted to.
Right.
In some way, shape, or form, because it's that constant self-discovery and discovery of others too and what they are capable of, and you know, always something coming out of a session. Like you might have what you think is a terrible class, you know, when you're teaching and it's like, you know, no one was paying attention, or you know, like you felt disorganized, or you know, whatever the thing is, but there's always something that comes out of it, and you may not even know it for weeks. And then, you know, you have your student come up to you and say, "Miss Sarah, you remember that one time when you said that one thing? Well, look, watch." And then she goes flying across the studio, you know? It's like, you just never know what's going to come up from class, you know?
Yep. It's so exciting. Yeah. Well, off of that, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever left dance? Have you ever?
Oh, girl. Let's see. So I also started when I was 3 years old, and I danced at a small studio until I was about 13. And at that point, I decided and talked to my parents and said, "I want to be a professional ballet dancer. This is what I want." And I was already like in the advanced class at my studio. And so my parents were like, "Okay, we should probably look at some other options." And I was lucky enough to have a conservatory type place nearby. So I studied at Butler University's Jordan Academy of Dance, where I got a really great, wonderful education full of multiple forms of dance. It was classical ballet focused, but they had a great modern program, great jazz program, tap program, flamenco, character dance. Like we did all of it. Yeah. So I was lucky enough to do that. Went to some summer intensives, went straight into a traineeship after high school with a ballet company, got super injured. Had a really rough time that year. Ended up moving overseas, and I spent 6 years in Austria, and amazing. I danced there. But my career did not look like how I thought it would.
Right.
As it never does for most of us. So I ended up dancing pretty much freelancing with the Opera House and a couple of other gigs in Austria, and teaching and performing with a student company, just a lot of different things. And not a whole lot of classical ballet. I mean, it was a good amount, but it was everything, you know. Yep. And thankfully my education prepared me for that. And then I moved back to the States because I wanted to go to college. And at that point I stopped dancing, and started teaching like 15 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So I went straight into a quote full-time, you know, as full-time as you can be as a dance teacher. Right. Dance teacher, and I've been teaching ever since then, until COVID, and now I haven't taught regularly at a ballet school since 2021.
Okay.
So this is the first time, and now I'm pregnant, so I didn't want to start up at a new school being pregnant, because that's like a whole thing. So
totally.
Yeah. So this wow. is really the first time in my life that the only connection I have currently to the studio is this podcast. So
that is this is a big change. This is a big change in your life.
I did some private coaching for a little while, and I'm still open to that too. But yeah, as far as like a regular teaching gig and being in the studio every day, I'm not doing it.
Not doing it.
And it's pretty weird, but
yeah. It's weird, but how else do you feel? Do you feel like, are you at peace with it? Or you're like, you know, I kind of am ready. I'll go back once I'm ready, or maybe I won't go back.
I've actually done a lot of work. I talk about this on the show all the time, but I see a counselor, I see a therapist. I've done a lot of work around my identity and being able to separate myself from ballet, mm-hmm. which is not easy to do. And so now when I say like, oh, like I used to be a dancer, like I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with saying, well, I used to be a dance teacher. I'll probably go back to it, but I'm not doing it right now. I'm okay with that. You know, it's really interesting. The massive change that has happened. And I think the podcast honestly has a lot to do with that too. Mm-hmm. You know, just because of all of the research, the mental health professionals, people like yourself, that I've just come to realize that, like, just because I'm not, you know, coming home at 10 o'clock at night every night, not having dinner with my husband, doesn't make me not involved in the dance world, you know? And that's been the best part, honestly. Like, I realized that my entire childhood, like, when I really start, like, when I got really serious about dance when I was a teenager, I mean, I was gone 6 nights a week. I was not home for dinner with the family ever, mm-hmm. you know? And this is the first time in my life, and even as a dance teacher, you know, you come home 9, 10 o'clock at night. This is the first time in my life that I've consistently had dinner with a family unit ever.
For sure.
And that's massive. You know, that's like
totally like that again, life changing.
Yeah, and absolutely. So yeah, that's kind of, sorry, long story short.
No, but I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been an interesting ride for sure. And like I said, once I have the baby and kind of we get a handle on things and mm-hmm. she gets a little older, I definitely want to go back to teaching for sure. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and you just as you were telling this story, it's coming home at 10 p.m. and not, you know, spending having dinner, all of these things that, you know, we don't really think about in the moment. We just mm-hmm. do all these things because we're on, I don't want to say autopilot, but we're
trained. That's the life of a dancer, something. Though. You just do that. Like,
yeah, because you love it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's also why I started Rethink Dance is the, just in that word, to like think again and to, mm-hmm. you know, reevaluate. And so that Rethink Dance is, how can we change this dance industry or influence the dance industry to think differently, to make sure that we're not, you know, getting to the point where you are just like, we don't even know. Yeah, we don't know who we are without it, but mm-hmm. providing opportunities to just live life together. So I was kind of looking back at, so what Rethink Dance identifies as a way of life, a social movement inspired by movement. So I just wanted to share that with you too, because that kind of brought up this
some stuff.
What we've, yeah, brought up all of the things.
Yeah.
I'm so appreciative of our conversation. I think when we can just like, we can better understand ourselves, we can better, better understand others too.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I've had a ton of mental health professionals on the show. And I think if I had to come up with one thing that seems like a lot of them have, all of them have in common, is that in order to be a fully functioning, let's say, to have a fulfilling life and to have that, what is it? Like, you know, like the Maslow.
Mm-hmm. Hierarchy of needs.
Yes. To be fully actualized, self-actualized.
There you go.
You have to have some balance. You can't you can't identify as a dancer only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have friends outside of your dance friends or your company friends. You have to have interests, whether that's reading, like it doesn't matter what it is, but you have to push those boundaries outside. And the approach that Rethink Dance has really allows, demands space for that, it seems.
I hope so. That's that's the goal. And to welcome everyone to the table. I don't really, I think we stick to, you know, being around people that are similar to us, whether, you know, same like background, ethnicity, or just your likes and dislikes. But I really want to find people that are just different. And I'm so curious about all sorts of cultures, and not only in dance, but in, you know, making foods. Take me across the world. I want to try all the things. Mm-hmm. And so we should get a taste of everything, because that just allows us, you know, the opportunity to grow and yeah, not stay still.
Yes. Stagnant. Okay. So now I have to hear about this film festival that you've teased a couple of times.
Sure.
Tell us all about it. What is it? How it came to be, how people can get involved. All the things.
So this upcoming fall will be the fifth year that the festival has run. And I will be quite honest, a good friend of mine and I were just, you know, both, he was more on the film side and I was like in the dance world, and but he had a background in working with the like dance community and and doing some of the things that I, you know, talked about experiences studying in New Zealand. And it was like these worlds were colliding. We were just talking about all these opportunities to fuse these two art forms together. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, let's do a film festival. Okay. I don't know what that looks like necessarily. Researched and found, you know, there's a great website called Film Freeway, and really it creates, it's a platform for festivals to exist. And so we really just, you know, decided what we wanted it to kind of look like, the categories we would be creating, and really put it out into the world. And we, you know, kind of let it sit for a little bit. And I get an email and like, oh my gosh, there's a submission from someone in Argentina. And then we were like, Australia and Canada and all over the US. And I think the first year we had, it was like close to 80 submissions.
Wow.
And it's been pretty consistent every year.
That's amazing.
We were just blown away. Just all over the world, and people want to share their art. And so that first year I now live in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I just recently moved here for a job. Mm-hmm. But I was in Fargo, North Dakota for the past 14 years.
Okay.
So the film festival started there, and when we did the showing, we had that in the downtown Fargo Theater. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, cute little historical theater. Cool. Love the vibes there. And it was super, super cool. But with the film festival, we collected submissions. We had three judges. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we like, that number. And then I can't remember exactly how many we had the first year now off the top of my head, but we had a lot more that we showed at the theater that year. Mm-hmm. And so I think our show time was like a 3-hour period. We've shrunk that down a little bit. So it's just 2 hours of showing different films at different lengths, but you know, the different categories, and then different awards for each category are then chosen by those judges, and mm-hmm. and then we give feedback to those that submitted their films. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Wow. So I guess my next question was going to be, can anyone be involved? And it sounds like yes.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the thing is, it's so much easier to film things now. Mm. And, you know, mm-hmm. you can do things on a mobile phone.
An iPhone. Yeah. 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 Or like, I just got this new Samsung and it has 5 cameras on it.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I'm like, I don't even know how to use one, let alone 5.
That is wild. Yeah. So there's a category for mobile dance, and, mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of separated. So there's an opportunity for the youth to create films.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, separated, and anyone 18 up in a different kind of category. But, mm-hmm. But that's, I mean, that if I think of a really long-term goal is to create more opportunities for the youth to create these experiences.
Yeah.
You know, you think of the dancers that don't really want to perform on a stage, but mm-hmm. get them in a space where they're just like creating little like 30-second snippets of their awesome little choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. and then setting up different angles to make an experience just like elevated. I think mm-hmm. that just excites me. That opportunity and that world is, it's so open and
yeah, you're so pushing much opportunity. Forward, you're pushing forward 2 different art forms at the same time. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. I love it.
So cool.
Yeah. So, for dancers who are not local to you, I mean, it sounds like, especially since COVID, it sounds like you guys have kind of like embraced this, you know, virtual space and that kind of thing. But I'd love for you to talk to our dancers who might want to do some kind of similar project in their community, that want to inspire that same spirit of anyone can dance and connecting to their community and all of that wonderful stuff. What are some things that you'd like to say to them?
Oh, gosh, so many things that sounds like I'm just talking to myself, I think. Yeah. I guess, find those in your community, those people that get you and support you and your dreams and can help you really formulate your ideas and thoughts of what you're wanting to go for. Because I like to leave things open to the individual. Like, we all have our own idea of what something should be like. And then we need these supporters that can mm-hmm. kind of come in and be like, oh, I see what you're saying. And this is my gift. And I can help you connect you to this person or that person. So I think it's finding that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Find that. And really nail down what it is you're hoping to do in mm-hmm. and like whether that's, you know, just I just want people to experience more dance. And so does that mean you're going to be, you want to teach dance classes, or you want to have I think of like CLI Studios, if you're familiar mm-hmm. with them. Oh, of yeah. like they yeah. man, I talked to Teddy Forens at a dance convention like years ago, like when he was like starting it. I remember thinking, I feel so cool right now sitting down and talking to him one-on-one on like his ideas. And he was so open about sharing the story and what their vision for it before mm-hmm. it all exploded in the best way. Yeah. But it's cool. That idea that's like, we can connect and do things within our own community, have these classes, mm-hmm. you know, from what, you know, is that live class or classes with a person physically in the studio, or we have this virtual opportunity. So why don't we, you know, use that to still be able to have someone come in and teach a style of dance from like, you know, a different country, you name it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, before we come to a close here, I've got two questions I ask all of my guests. Mm-hmm. And it's fun because I've gotten so many different, over 50 answers.
At this awesome.
So the first one is, I'm going to put you in a time machine and I'm going to send you back to like 13, 14 year old Haley. Because I feel like that's when your identity formation really kind of revs up, and it's a tough time for a lot of people, but it's also an exciting time. I'd love to hear what advice you would give to yourself as a young dancer.
Yeah, so the advice I'd give myself as a young dancer, young person, is really three words, and that's just, you are enough. Mm-hmm. And believe that.
Amen, sister. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely like a very buzzwordy type phrase that's going around. You hear it a lot, but I mean, it's true.
Yep, and we all need to hear it over and over and over again. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like an end all, like, yeah, okay, I'm enough. And I know I'm enough forever. It's taking process. A shower. You don't just like shower once in a blue moon. Well, you got to do it all the time.
And I think too, the reason why it's so like, I don't know, it's trending, I guess you could say, is that for so long, especially for female identifying people, we're told we aren't enough mm-hmm. our whole lives, you know, not that male identifying people don't get that too, but I just feel like the female experience is so specific to that. Mm-hmm. And like, you're constantly being bombarded with, you know, commercial products to mm-hmm. improve yourself, to improve your looks, to, you know, it's just constant mm-hmm. bombardment that you're not enough. So,
and it's how it's all worded too. Mm-hmm. It is actually telling you those things. I think of even because dance can be so positive and so wonderful, but it can also give the like reverse effect of what it should be actually. And that is, you know, with giving corrections and feedback mm-hmm. and, you know, everybody receives things differently. So how does the individual specifically take in this feedback of you know, make sure you're doing this. Okay, turn your feet out, do this, shoulders down, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, they could just be saying in their mind, like, I'm Ooh. Not like, this isn't good enough. This isn't yeah. good enough either.
Yeah.
And then that's just a vicious cycle. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you do have to have that balance, right? Because you do need the corrections, mm-hmm. you know, like.
Yeah, you can't get better if you don't hear the things clear, you're doing.
Yeah. To be clear, we're not saying like, don't correct your students. That's not what we're saying.
No, no, no.
But there has to be that balance, right? Of like, mm-hmm. as a person, you know, just because you're not able to get a 90 degree Arabesque yet does not make you a bad person.
Right. Or that you'll never get there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Like we just want things in this world right now because we can, there's a lot of things we can get that instant yes. gratification. Yes. You do have a question, you can just Google it and probably uh-huh. figure it out. And that's great because you can get answers quicker.
Yep.
But there's sometimes
there's
like
a trade-off.
Yep. We can't, there's actually things that we can't just instantly become an actress or mm-hmm. a doctor because.
Can't order that on Amazon. Bezos isn't selling it.
No.
Bezos is not selling that 90 degree Arabesque. Sorry guys, but.
Gosh, no now I'm just imagining a world where that was possible.
Yeah, there's no 2-day shipping.
That'd be so boring, actually.
Right. Yeah.
It would be. Yeah, you know, we absolutely. Maybe complain on the other end where we want things mm-hmm. to happen quickly. But if we did actually get those things that don't come easily, it's what do we have to celebrate if we didn't like really climb that mountain and like yeah. reach the top? Mm-hmm. So
I love that. Okay, so last question. Oh, I'm gonna give you my magic wand.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
You only get to wave it once, though.
All right. Let me try.
And with that wave of a wand, you get to change one thing about the dance world. What would it be?
Ooh. My mind just goes, so if I could change one thing about the dance world, mm-hmm. I think my mind just goes to be kinder to yourself and others mm. and using, we're going to use dance as a tool to do that.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's not what I have heard actually.
Yep.
In over 50 episodes. I've had a couple yeah. repeats. And that is not one of them.
Oh.
So I love it. That's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Spread kindness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not hard.
No, it feels good.
And it's actually easier than coming up with a way to make your enemy, who you perceive as your enemy, to feel mm-hmm. bad. It's a lot easier.
Yep. It
takes less
Amen.
Effort. Yeah. Yeah. Lovely. Okay, so before I let you go, please tell the listeners where they can connect with you, socials, website. The film festival, all that good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, you can reach out to us always via email, rethinkdanceco@gmail.com. Our website is www.rethinkdance.com. And of course, we have Facebook and Instagram. And if you search that, just Rethink Dance and it should pop right up. We have on our website some events that are coming up. There's going to be a virtual festival from this past season that we are going to be doing June 17th through the 26th. So you should Yay. Be able to get some tickets to see that.
Nice.
And submissions for the next film festival will open up May 16th.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you again for your time today. It's been such a fun conversation and I'm just really excited to see everything that Rethink is going to be doing in the future.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate All right. it.
Take care. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, goodness. That last little bit about kindness. I mean, okay, kindness towards yourself, but also kindness towards others and using dance as the tool to get you there.
I mean, that was just brilliant. So, so brilliant. Glorious round of applause to Haley for being on the show today. Again, I'm so grateful for her time. I mean, she's such an uplifting, inspiring story and kind of, you know, fitting, I think, for the end of season two. We had a couple of heavier topics that were really, really important that we opened the conversation on, but it was nice to have kind of a nice, uplifting episode here at the end. If you would like to participate in the film festival with Haley, please do go to the website. I have it posted down in the show notes, and get your submission in. And if you do get your submission in, please feel free to tag the podcast, tag Rethink on Instagram with a little post, say hello. I'd love to see my followers' submissions. It's so exciting. I want to thank you all again for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and if you did, please leave me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, follow the pod on Spotify, and share it with just 3 friends. If you have any questions, particular topics you'd like me to cover, or guests you'd like to hear from next season, you can email those to me at dancebetterpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at dancebetterpodcast. Thank you so much for listening today and the whole season, you guys. So grateful for you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will be on maternity leave, but I will still be kind of popping in periodically to say hello to you all. And of course, my email is always open for you to drop me a message. And I can't wait to share baby pictures with you all. at the time of recording, I am three weeks out. So by the time this comes out, you'll have already seen baby pictures. But thanks again for all your love and support, and have a great summer. Bye.